Let's once more talk to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we have just sung and reminded ourselves of all the good gifts that you've given us, the blessings that come from you to us. You bless us. You see us in our need and help us. You see better than we do, before we do. Even when we fail to ask, you help us. We take the time tonight to say thank you. Thank you for your love, for your care. We thank you that we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be filled with worry. For you love us. And your hand rests upon our lives. You're the one who says you are mine because you believe in Jesus, my son. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his perfect life. We thank you for his death upon the cross. That in that death, he paid the penalty of human sin. And we thank you that he rose again from the dead, and that he is now the giver of life, true life, the life that is marked by forgiveness, but also a life that will last forever. And that as he was raised from the dead, even those who are your children, who believe in Jesus, will also one day rise from the dead, even though they may die. But we thank you that that spiritual part within us, our soul, will never die. And that when we leave this world, because Jesus is alive, we shall be alive with him. We thank you for that hope. We thank you for that comfort that gives us. We know that there are many people sad today, though. There are many people sad around the world, but we think especially in New Zealand, where there has been such hurt done to families, where people have been murdered, all in the name of hatred. We pray for the man who did this, that he would see the horror of what he did and seek your forgiveness. We pray for those who are grieving and those who are still recovering from surgery, that you would keep them safe too. We pray for the community. We pray, O Father, that you would be with the police and others, not only there but here and around the world. Help them to fulfill their role, to keep peace. We pray for justice. We pray for people to be kinder. We also understand, O Father, that there are many who believe in you who are suffering around the world because they believe in you, that they also are hated because of their love for you. Pray that you would care for them and protect them. Help them to be strong in their faith. And remind each of us too, O Father, that one day we shall see you. And the life that you have given unto us, you're going to ask questions of us about that life. What we have done with it. How we have spent it. But more importantly, whether we remembered you. Whether we sought your love and forgiveness. Whether we trusted in Jesus, whether we belong to you as a result. We know you are a holy God, that you cannot just ignore the wrongs in people's lives. And that if Jesus has not paid for us, then we must pay for ourselves. Now we pray that no one here will die without knowing Jesus. And that our lives will be celebrating Jesus, being thankful to you for him, speaking often about him. When we're sick, when we're tired, when we're hurting, help us to trust you. Help us to keep following you, even when we can't understand what is happening. Give us that faith that says, even so, our Father in heaven not only knows what is happening and why it is happening, but he loves us and is protecting us and bringing good even through that into our lives. And so we thank you. Hear our prayers for family and friends who need your help in that way today. For the sick, for the lonely, for the sad, for those who are struggling, may they find peace and know joy through Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you for a little bit this afternoon about the story that Ben read from the Gospel of Luke. One of the stories of Jesus. It was one of the ways that Jesus taught. He would use a what we call a parable, a picture story that had meaning to teach people about God and about what it means to need God and to live with God in this world. The story that we read earlier is the story of a rich man who was a very foolish man. But most people would not think he was foolish. He was rich. He was smart in business. He had everything. But what Jesus is showing in that story is that he didn't know God. He didn't have God in his life. He made a big mistake because he thought that being satisfied with life and having the good life, being able to do whatever you want to do and to be comfortable day by day, was all that mattered. That it was more important than knowing God. Now, how did Jesus come to tell that story about the rich man who was a great fool? Well, it seems there was a young man who cried out to Jesus when he was walking past and teaching people who were following him and asked Jesus for help. He had a problem, a family problem, a problem with his brother. Their father had died and had left money, estate, probably land and goods to his children. And he wasn't sure that his older brother was being fair. And he felt he deserved to have more than what his brother said would be his share. He saw a great need for justice, a great need for money. But Jesus saw that this man had a more important need, a greater need than a share of the Father's estate. Jesus saw that this man looked at life as if this life was all that really matters. That it's all about how comfortable he can be in this life. And he was a man who had space for money, but no place for God in that life. Jesus is wanting to say to him that he should want the life that Jesus gives. Had he no issues of his own soul to ask Jesus about, that the thing that was most important to him was money? Did he not think about eternity, what will happen after this life, that all he could think about was money for this life? That's what Jesus challenges by his story. As I said, it's a picture of great success in life. It's the story of a man who became very rich. And he did it honestly. He worked hard. He planted his fields. And he got a very good return He also was clearly someone who knew how to think, had a good business mind. He was a careful planner. He thought carefully about what he would do as a result of all the income he was getting, all the extra seed, the grain that he would harvest. Here is a man who had made a success of life. He not only has all this harvest that he needs more space to store, Jesus says he's also got other things he needs to store. He's a very wealthy man. It seems this is not the first year he has had a good return from the hard work in the field. This is the kind of person many would call a good businessman. People would look up to him and would like to be like him. They would want him to give them advice about their money, about how to make more money. If they had a company, he's the man you would ask, would you like to be in our company on the board of directors? You're good at business. You make profit. He's a man who's got it made, and he knows it. But if you notice carefully in the story, you see that there is something wrong. And simply it is this. It is all about me. Did you see that? When Ben read, did you see how often the word I was in that story? How often the pronoun me, my. 6 times we read Jesus saying, this man is saying, I. And there's another 5 times that he's talking about me or mine. And what Jesus is saying there is that deep down this is what people are like. That at some point in their life they will show it. In this case, this man, through such great return from his hard work, more than he had dreamed of. For other people, it may be when they lose it all that suddenly they talk about I, me, my, mine. Eventually, their love of self will be shown. That, according to God, is our basic problem. It's all about me. Our lives are about me, rather than about God, and in his name, caring about others. The Bible calls that sin, because it's contrary to the heart of God. It's different. It's the opposite of the heart of God. God is a God who loves, who cares. He created things wonderful. He created people to enjoy that. But they wanted to live their own way, do things according to their own thoughts. And they made the story of their life about me. I wonder, do you see that that's what's happened in your life? When things go bad, who do you think about? Isn't it me? I missed this. I lost that. Why am I having to suffer this or that? Why do I get sick? And it's always me. Or when things are going well, I can buy this, I can do that, I can have this. People will like me. It's still about me. This man made plans. It is wise to plan. But if our plans for the future are focused only on me, upon I, and not upon God, then we're no different than this rich fool. You see, this rich farmer is a fool not because he is wealthy, not because he stores up for the future and thinks about life that is yet to come. He is a fool because he appears to live only for himself, and because he believes he can secure by all that wealth that he has, all that he has achieved, he can secure his life and enjoy it any way he wants to. It's all about him. But something happens in the story, doesn't it? Before he can even build his barns, let alone sit back and have that drink and go on that holiday doing whatever he wants, because he's got the money to do whatever he wants, God interrupts his life. God enters into the story and says, tonight you will die. Tonight your soul will be wanted. That he will meet the God who made us, the God who has given us the good gifts, the increase to our work, our labour, the God to whom we are responsible for our lives. The reason that this man was a fool was because he forgot about that. His story was all about I, me, what I will do, what I am going to, and how I am going to be able to, and he didn't think about God. He forgot God, and that there was more to life than what he had done with his life. He forgot about God, and that this meeting with God was going to bring him under God's disapproval. He thought about his gifts, but he forgot the giver. He thought about life as eating and drinking, but forgot about life as serving and caring. He thought about his physical body, but forgot about his spiritual soul. He thought about his life, that he will have many years to be able to live this way because his wealth is that great, but he forgot about his death, and that we all will die. And he didn't realise that that could be at any minute. He thought about himself, but not about God. But God did not forget about him or the gifts that he had given to him. You see, the problem is not the money, the wealth, the possessions he had, but the way he thinks about these things and builds his life around these things. His future is based upon these things, upon having them and upon being smart. And he forgot that it's so easy for this stuff to go, to be lost, to be gone. Easy come, as they say, easy go. Well, it may take a lot of hard work to get a lot of things, a lot of wealth. But the market can crash, prices can go through the roof, and you thought you had a lot of money, and then all of a sudden it's worth next to nothing. Or you suddenly become sick, and all the money, that new TV, that new car means nothing to you. Someone that you love dies, and your world falls apart. He forgot what another rich man in the Bible, whose name was Job, taught. God gives. God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He forgot how important God is to his life. And the question that Jesus is not only asking the man who asked his question, but he's asking us also, is, have we forgotten how important God is to our life? When God enters, this farmer realised there was one thing he did not prepare. He had made a good plan to care for his crops and a good plan to be able to spend what he had so that it would last and he would be comfortable. But he didn't have a plan for his soul. He didn't prepare for his death. No one really does. We don't want to think about that. And like this man, we too may be caught by surprise. You see, the lesson of Jesus' story is not that it is wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to be a good planner. It's not wrong to enjoy the things that might become a part of your life. The Bible honours rich men like Abraham, Job, Joseph of Arimathea. These men of great faith were honoured as people who loved God and lived for him. The lesson of Jesus' story is that those who do not think about God or look for God will one day find out that they have no relationship with the living God and it's too late to start one. This man in the story lost all that he had lived for and trusted in, found comfort and joy and hope in. When he died, it was all left behind. That's the point of the story. It couldn't stop him from dying and he couldn't take it with him. He couldn't use it to have an argument with God about his eternal future. It couldn't help before God. What he should have done was remembered that God is. He should have remembered his soul. He should have remembered that there is more to life than this world. But now it was too late, and that's why he was a fool. He had wasted his life and the opportunity that God had given him to deal with what was wrong, not just in his life, but in his heart. And Jesus is saying to the man who asked him this question for help, who wanted Jesus' help so that he would get more wealth, have more security, be more comfortable, have a better life, Jesus is saying, that is your danger too. Will you be such a fool? What is it that makes your life worth living now, with joy, true comfort and hope, and will last even beyond death? And Jesus is really saying to this man, the answer is standing right in front of you. It is me. You are worried about a few dollars, a few comforts. Maybe you can buy a better car. Maybe you can then have a better business. And all the time you're missing out on Jesus. And he is there to turn your life around. Sadly, a lot of people live only as if only this life matters and that this life will last forever, but it's not the way of reality. Jesus is saying to them, he's saying to this man, you are looking at life the wrong way. You are so focused on what you think you deserve in life that you are missing me, who has the words of life, who can bring forgiveness into your life, the love of God into your life, peace with God into your life, hope even in the day of death. And Jesus is saying the same thing to each one of us. Now, you may not be building your life around wealth, but the story still speaks to us. Let me ask you this question. What will make your life special? What will make your life enjoyable so that you don't really want to go to sleep because it's good? That when the morning comes around, you don't need an alarm to get you up. You're ready to go because life is great. What would make life that special for you? Would make you feel successful so that now you can relax, you can enjoy life. It may be money. It may be achieving that goal in your career, having that particular job, that particular position at work, and all that that brings with you. It may be having your own home. It may be that I'm married. It may be that I have children or grandchildren, and they are growing well and strong and You know, I can see them. I can enjoy them. Now, all these are things that are not wrong in themselves, but when we put them in the place of God, when they become what our life is about, and why we live life, why we get excited about life, then there is something seriously wrong. And what Jesus is saying, there is more to life than all these good things, even God's good gifts. Jesus was telling that man who asked for help, he is telling us tonight that we have a soul, that this soul will last beyond this life, and that there is more to life than this life, that we are more than a body. And he is saying that more important than asking for his help to make our lives better and more comfortable is to ask for his help to make our life right with God. To deal with our sin, to bring peace, forgiveness, to make us part of God's family. None of us like being called a fool. I'm sure you don't want to be called a fool. We certainly would not want God to call us a fool. If we don't listen to what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is teaching, if we don't understand that we need to take hold of what Jesus is offering to us in life and for life, then we will hear God say, "You are a fool." Doesn't matter how important you think your life is, how precious, how clever, how good you are and have become at things, God will call you a fool because you've had Jesus there and you missed him. You didn't take advantage of him. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that the fool is the person who says in his heart, "There is no God." And that's how most people live. But there is a God. And God does make a difference to our lives. How we look at life. How we look at death. The biggest, the worst mistake anyone can make is to forget that. Well, there is one mistake that is bigger. And that is to reject Jesus, who is God's gift to turn our life around, to make us his child. Only in and through the Lord Jesus is a full and eternal life possible. In Jesus we find the good life, the real life. In the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes it says, "Look to God and live for God. That's where you will find what you really want and need in life. For God is going to judge everything we do, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil." That's how that book finishes. But the rest of the book is, I've tried everything. I've tried business, I've tried friends, I've tried money, I've tried religion. All of that doesn't help. In life, it's empty, it's hollow. The only way is to look for God, to come to know God, to find your true life in God and because of God. And that's why God sent Jesus. And that's why in this church we love to talk about Jesus and love to sing about Jesus. Let's talk to God now about Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you have sent Jesus into this world to help us because we are so full of ourselves, so confident about our abilities, that we don't see how weak we are and how foolish we are when we disobey you and ignore you. And that no matter how good our life may be here, as we think about it, it's not the life you intended and that you made us for, and so can never satisfy us. But worse, can never prepare us for what happens after death. But we thank you that you didn't forget us, but you sent Jesus. And you've given us your word that we will understand who Jesus is and what he did. So help us to look for you in your word, to read the Bible, to think about Jesus, to spend the time to ask the questions, to read, to think, to pray. And teach us, bring us to yourself, and strengthen us in that faith in Jesus. We thank you that in him there is true life. That he said, I came to give life and to give it in abundance, in super greatness. A life that is forever. May each of us here this night know the wonder, the truth of that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.